So let's just start a little bit general. What led you to first engage in politics and run for office?
So I actually just got back to Manhattan after spending 2 years over in Scotland, over in Aberdeen. I've seen how their politics works. I've seen how our politics works. And I think that there's some changes that need to be made. For example, my approach to politics is to first start off by asking, and not finishing, but starting off by asking, is there any way that we can do this with more freedom instead of less? That's a tip that I got from Pendulette, I don't know, the great magician, who's also a really good libertarian commenter. Love his work in the libertarian movement. And sometimes that answer is no. But more often than not, statistically even, the answer is yes. And that's a good thing that we need to look more towards. So this is the land of the free, after all. So.
And what are some experience you have, governmental or otherwise, that you think is really applicable towards your candidacy?
So I don't have any governmental experience other than I running and starting a few clubs and stuff like that over in Scotland. I started the Aberdeen University baseball team. So I don't have a whole lot of governmental experience, but I do have experience being a leader. And that's, I think, something that's needed.
And what is some of that experience? Just related to those clubs?
Largely, yes. I also did debate in high school and stuff like that. And so you get into politics a lot there. And that was something that I always loved. Mr. Rafferty, if you're out there, he was my debate teacher. But he really instilled a lot of looking at current events and how we can affect them. And that's something that I think is great.
What are some of your thoughts on how to balance some desire? There's kind of a competing desire amongst the public, right? People want state services, but they also don't want higher property taxes or taxes in general. What are some of your thoughts on how to balance those competing desires?
Absolutely. I think that we should legalize marijuana. That's one of my big points. Colorado's done it. They have seen a huge increase in marijuana-related taxes over the recent years, and it's only growing. And that's something that Kansas needs to look forward to, because currently Kansas citizens are crossing the border and buying it in Colorado when we could be having that same growth and economic boom here in Kansas. And that's something that's great for that's worked out great for them. It's lowered violent crime rates, and so that's something that no one can complain about, and so that's good.
Relating on those sort of balancing desires there has been some talk now that state revenue is kind of rebounding again to a degree, maybe not fully rebounding to what it was in prior years, but there's talks of lowering taxes again now. Do you think that is the time to talk about that again?
Absolutely. Kansas is ranked 40th in taxes overall. We have the 10th highest taxes in the nation at 12.42% for the median family income. And that's why do we need to have that high of a tax rate compared to the rest of the U.S. that's ridiculous.
And do you think that there's any specific side of taxation that needs to be addressed more than others?
Absolutely. I think that the sales tax on food and water is absolutely ridiculous. Again, we're one of seven states that actually has the full taxation on groceries. There are six states that have a reduced tax level. I think we can do better than that. I think we can be with the majority of states and actually completely eliminate it and substitute that with other revenue streams.
Continuing on the tax topic, some in local government have expressed a little bit of displeasure about the existence of a tax lid that was instituted at the state level. And now there's also talks again of instituting a cap on property valuation increases in addition to the tax lid, which is sort of, they kind of work hand in hand. Do you think the state should have a role in dictating how local governments address taxing concerns?
Being a libertarian, I think that there needs to be three levels of government. There needs to be the local government, there needs to be the state government, and there needs to be the federal government. I don't think it's good to necessarily get involved in for example, getting involved in local politics. That should be left up to the cities. Here in Riley County, we have some of the highest taxes in the state. I think it's ridiculous, but we have seen an economic boom. I think, however, if we lowered those, that's up to the locality. I think if we lowered those, that it would bring in more business and more of an economic boom.
And this might be a little bit of a two-part question here. First of all, what are your thoughts on the state of education in Kansas currently, especially related to funding, but also playing off of that? there's been also talk of a possible constitutional amendment that would remove the Supreme Court role in being able to dictate what is adequate funding for public education. Do you think that's a good move?
The current state of education in Kansas is it's not good, as we've seen. It can be better. It definitely can be better. So I've heard two good answers on this, that yes, we should define it. However, I don't think so. I tend to agree more with that if it is funded properly, we won't have these lawsuits that are saying that, oh, you're underfunded. Well, if we do that, then we should be able to fund them properly. I think it does matter to the I think the Supreme Court should have some say in how our schools are run. Also, I just wanted to mention that I do that with my marijuana policy. I think that 50% of all tax, of all marijuana taxes, should go directly to the schools. So I think that'll also give them a bit of a boom, too.
There's been some talk about Medicaid expansion again. It's been a popular topic for the last few years, of course. And some of the latest numbers I've seen is like maybe 150,000 Kansans are in that coverage gap, or so, as they refer to it as, between being able to qualify for CanCare and being able to get subsidized care through the Affordable Care Act. Do you think it's time to revisit Medicaid expansion?
I think it definitely needs to be looked at. However, we do have to balance our budget properly. They passed a balance of budget amendment, I think that was in 2016, maybe 2015. But they haven't stuck to that, and I think we do need to get back to that and get Kansas back on track to where we're actually doing that. However, I definitely think it needs to be looked at, and we can start pulling some things away from other places. The State Highway Patrol, for example, has officers that are making over $100,000 a year in overtime alone, which means they can't effectively police people. If you're working that much overtime, you're going to make mistakes. And so we need to look at where we can pull some of the budget from and working on getting that into the places that it needs to go, such as Medicaid expansion.
And continuing on the discussion of health care, Chris Kobach has recently proposed or brought up the idea of privatizing Osawatomie State Hospital, the mental hospital, I believe, Eastern Kansas, if I'm correct with my geography here. Do you think privatization is a good way to move forward and improve mental health treatment in the state of Kansas?
Yes and no. There are parts that need to be that should be privatized, and there are parts that aren't. Whenever you look at, I lived in the UK for several years. Their mental health treatment there is not good. I couldn't get depression medication that I needed. I couldn't get anything else that I needed. They're critically underfunded, and you see a lot of nurses there quitting, doctors quitting, because they're not making it. So I think that there does need to be some privatization. However, how much is up for debate. Is definitely up for debate, and I don't think that it can go either one full way or the other. So I think we need to look at that better.
And there's also been some talk about term limits in the state legislature. Do you think that representatives at the state level should have a term limit?
Absolutely, 100%. Term limits, I think, are a great thing. It encourages new ideas. It helps continuously progress things forward. I think it's ridiculous that we don't have term limits. That's one of my main platform points, is that we definitely need term limits. And, you know, 16 years is way too long in to be in a position. I think you should be moving on. If you're in the state legislature, if you're part of the state House of Representatives, then you should be moving on to becoming a state senator. And so I think there definitely needs to be some progression there. However, we definitely need term limits, yes.
And I've bounced around from a bunch of different topics here.
No, you're good. I'm sorry.
No problem. But at this point in the interview is where I like to turn it over to you.
Okay.
What are some of the chief issues, concerns, topics that you think are most pressing and most important in this upcoming election?
So one of the things that wasn't mentioned is looking at education and how we can use technology to improve it. We can expand it in towards, because there's a lot of talk about consolidation of school districts. One of the things that we could do to stop that is maybe going week on, week off with online schooling. So we can use online schooling and go week on, week off. And I've talked with a lot of people in rural districts, and they seem to be very positive on that. They seem to like that idea a lot. The one issue they see is not even educational. It's sports programs. And so that's something that we need to work on and kind of figure out. But otherwise, they seem very positive on that, and that's something that I'm really happy with. also, we need criminal justice reform in Kansas. We have, if we were our own country, we would have the largest per capita incarceration rate, beating out the USA in general, and even North Korea, which is ridiculous. I mean, they imprisoned three generations for the same crime. Why do we have a higher incarceration rate than them? It costs $24,000 to house a, or $24,500 to house a prisoner per year, which if we shifted away from that, which is a lot of spending, if we shift away towards maybe doing ankle monitoring, which has been proven to work for 31, it reduced recidivism rates, which are at 70%, down, or it reduced that by a 30, by a further 31%, which is great. If for nonviolent crimes such as drug use, then yeah, that's something we need to look into, definitely. It also helps create the normalcy that they need to get back into society and to back to becoming good neighbors. And it helps them to keep their jobs even. So that way they're not looking for how can I make a quick buck because I'm going to get out of here and I need money. So it increases that normalcy, increases their job rate, and allows them to still be productive members of society while not costing the state nearly as much money, if any, because usually these are charged directly to the person who committed a crime. We need to look more towards restorative justice and working towards how exactly we can get these people to be good neighbors again. Norway has done a very good job with this. At Halden Prison, they work at keeping the normalcy there, keeping jobs, and they also work with helping that prisoner and rehabilitating that prisoner instead of focusing on punishment. Because whenever you get out of prison, would you rather have a person who is going to be angry at society, who doesn't have a job, who has been punished? Or would you rather have someone who's been rehabilitated and now will actually make a good neighbor and not reoffend? I would much rather have the second. And that's something that we need to look out for, is not necessarily focusing on the punishment, but focusing more towards lowering recidivism rates and increasing and helping people become better neighbors.
Edgar, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that.